Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our prayer meeting. Today we are at part four of the gift of the Spirit, and we are looking at the same text, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. So before we go into the text, again, I just want to remind everybody that if you have any questions about these gifts, or even of the Holy Spirit, please feel free to come and speak to us about it, because the Holy Spirit is in each of us, and we do encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your lives, bearing fruits and developing these gifts that He has given us so that we can receive His blessings and be a blessing to others in building the kingdom of God. We truly need the Holy Spirit in our lives, because without Him, we actually live like orphans, left alone to fend for ourselves, and that is not what God has planned for His children. Okay, so reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each just as He determines. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we want to thank you, God, that through the Holy Spirit, we are not left alone to do your work or to live in this world by ourselves. But you have given us the Holy Spirit. And God, even as we learn, Lord, to understand what the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives and what are our roles in learning to work together with the Holy Spirit, we ask that you open our minds, open our hearts, and help us, Lord, in the times that we struggle to be able to listen to you and to work out this relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit. And as we look at these gifts that we have, Lord, help us to develop it and use it for your kingdom. So we pray that you bless this time, speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the past 2 weeks, we have looked at the gift of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, and miracles. And today we are looking at another two, which are prophecy and distinguishing between spirits, or better known as discernment, right? So the first one, prophecy. So the Lexham Bible Dictionary defines prophecy as an oral divine message mediated through an individual that is directed at a person or people group and intended to elicit a specific response. So in the whole Old Testament, God actually spoke to the people through prophets. Prophets were God's spokesperson to his people. So from the beginning, when Israel was becoming a new people under God's rule, Moses functioned as a communicator of God's law to teach the people about God's ways and how to worship Yahweh, how to live as a people separate, set apart for God. Then God used Joshua to lead the people in battles, encouraging them to trust in the Lord, to be courageous, to take the promised land. And not long after Israel had conquered Canaan, Israel sinned against God with their disobedience and idolatry. So then God sent prophets to warn them of the judgment upon their sins and urge them to repent and return to the Lord. And when Israel did not repent, God allowed them to suffer their own consequences. But when Israel repented, God brought deliverance. So this went on from the time of Judges to the time of Kings. And then when Israel had kings, the prophets continued to function, but especially as an advisor to the kings. So Samuel, Nathan are two very well-known prophets to the king. And then when the kingdom was divided and there were threats from other nations, God sent many, many prophets to speak to Israel. And mainly they speak to the king as well. So when the king and the people did not return to God, again, they suffered the consequences and eventually they were invaded by foreign nations. However, even then, God sent prophets to remind the people about the covenant that God has made. And God sent prophets to promise to deliver them through a descendant of David, which we now know is Jesus Christ. So in the Old Testament, prophets function as that way, as God's messenger to the people. But in the New Testament, there is a change of function. So when the Holy Spirit came upon the believers on the day of Pentecost, in addressing the crowd, Peter quoted Joel in Acts chapter 2, verses 17 to 18. He says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." So what it means is the coming of the Holy Spirit is upon all believers. So we no longer need someone to communicate to us what God is saying. We can hear from God by ourselves. First of all, we have scripture as the word of God. And the Holy Spirit is in us, so he can speak to each of us. So the function of prophecy in the New Testament has switched gear. In the Old Testament, people relied on the prophets to tell them what God is saying. But in the New Testament, we can know God from scriptures. We can learn to listen to God, the Holy Spirit's voice for ourselves. However, God still gives his people the gift of prophecy. So it doesn't function as how it used to be as the main communicator of God, but it functions to edify the believers and to build the church. So we will look at three characteristics of prophecies. So firstly, prophecy include foretelling and foretelling, right? So when we think about prophecy, we often lean towards the foretelling, the predicting of what will happen in the future. In the Old Testament, the prophets spoke about judgment that awaits the people if they do not repent, or the deliverance that God has promised that is in the future. And some prophets also spoke about the coming of the Messiah who will deliver them from their enemies. And in the New Testament, an example is in Acts chapter 11, verses 28. So it says, "One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius." So that is foretelling. And foretelling is when the prophet speaks about the situation that the person or the group of people are currently in. So God also uses the prophet to address the needs of the present time. Okay, so most of the time it is to call the people to repentance. So people, they have sinned against God, and God is telling them, "Come back to me." And at other times, you know, God also used prophets to bring comfort and courage when the people are going through hardship. So when you think about the exile, God used Jeremiah to tell the people in the exile to settle down in Babylon. But at the same time, God says, "I have a plan for you to prosper you. And in due time, I will bring you back, but not yet. So you settle down." So these are this is what foretelling is about. All right. So secondly, prophecies are invitations to respond. So the Lexham Bible Dictionary's definition includes a clause that says prophecies are intended to elicit a specific response. So in the same text we read about Agabus just now, in prophesying about famine in Acts chapter 11, verse 29 tells us that the church responded by providing help for the brothers and sisters in Judea. Then in another text in Acts chapter 13, it tells us that there were people who were functioning as prophets in the early church already. And when the Holy Spirit asked for Barnabas and Saul to be set apart for mission work, both of them responded in obedience. And the church also responded by praying for them and sending them off. And another a few chapters later, the same prophet that we saw earlier, Agabus, prophesied about Paul. So this time, Agabus prophesied that if Paul goes to Jerusalem, he will be captured by the Jewish leaders and he will be handed over to the Romans. So in response to this prophecy, the believers, Paul's friends, urged him not to go to Jerusalem because they didn't want him to suffer. They cared for him. However, if we read along, we know that Paul decided to go still because he knew that it was God's mission for him. It was God who sends him to be witnesses to the Jews and to the Romans. And through that prophecy, God actually prepared Paul for what is ahead of him, the hardship, the suffering he has to go through for the sake of the gospel. And this was also what God told Ananias about Paul in Acts chapter 9, verses 15 to 16, that Paul will suffer for Jesus Christ. And another well-known example from the Old Testament is when Jonah was sent to Nineveh, God used Jonah to prophesy judgment upon Nineveh because of wickedness. So unexpectedly, through the prophecy, the people in Nineveh repented from their wicked ways and they turned to God. And the prophecy of judgment was an invitation for the people to respond. So when they did, God relented and God forgave their sins. And thirdly, prophecies are intended to edify and encourage the body of Christ instead of condemning the people or cause confusion and division. So since the Old Testament, there were already many false prophets functioning. So scriptures actually warn us against false prophets and false teachers because this what they do is they actually bring condemnation, they confuse, they bring division to the church. So in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." So it says that we should not blindly accept all prophecies and teachings, but Apostle John actually tells us to test the spirit to see whether they are from God. So this is part of the gift of distinguishing this of spirits or discernment, which we will later look at as well. But false prophets, what they do is they say things for their own benefit. So in the Old Testament, they prophesy to the king, telling the king what the king wanted to hear instead of what God is really saying. They were not interested in listening from God or speaking on his behalf. They cared more for their reputation with the king. They wanted to gain favor with the king. In the New Testament, there were false prophets and teachers who condemn believers who do not adhere to the laws of Moses. And in doing so, they were teaching that the death and resurrection of Jesus was not enough to save believers. Christians have to continue to obey the law, including circumcision. So what they did was they added burden to the people and they led people away from the gospel. And today, false prophets, there are still false prophets. And what they do is they use God's name to manipulate people into doing what they want so that they can gain control over people's lives. They can gain power, fame, and glory. And what they like to use is phrases like, you know, "God is telling me this, thus say the Lord." And some can be as extreme as getting their followers to do very ridiculous stuff, such as eating grass in order to be closer to God. Some are more subtle. They manipulate the people bit by bit into doing what they want. So they make them think that they are doing God's work. So some people are convinced to sell everything they have to give to the work of God. But actually these funds, these offerings that are received are given to the leaders, the pastors, to take advantage for their personal enjoyment. And some are even manipulated to do whatever the church tells them to do, so that they are obedient people. They are part of the blessed community. So I don't know whether you noticed this or not. During the US election, there were many prophecies going around. So when Trump was contesting against Hillary, there were prophecies that Hillary will win. There were also prophecies that God will use Trump for his purposes. And then when it came to Trump and Biden, it was the same again. Well, I don't while I don't think that all of these prophecies are false, what we should recognize is many times these prophecies were made for the prophet or the church's own agenda. You know, when you think about it, of course, there are only 50% chances that it will go wrong. So it's either or kind of thing. So, and when it does come through, they gain fame, they gain power. And also in making such prophecies, they are also telling people, so are you going to be part of God's plan in voting so-and-so? Or are you going to go against God's plan if you vote the other side? So the people are in a way manipulated. And what is interesting is even if their prophecies fail, they always find some kind of reasons to justify it instead of admitting that they got it wrong. So they say like it was because the people of God did not pray enough, they did not have faith enough, God is punishing the people. And for some reason, there will still be people who buy into their lies and continue following these so-called prophets. And on the other extreme, I remember a friend, story a friend once told me. So it was in a church service and a speaker was who was well-known of his prophetic gifts came to speak. So what he witnessed was the speaker would randomly point to one direction of the congregation and the speaker would generally say, it would say something very general. And someone in that direction would confess that it was them that the speaker was talking about. So in a particular service, a speaker was pointing to my friend's direction to him, you know, then he said, you, God is telling you to repent. So the people in front of him all turned their heads and looked at the back and everybody was looking at him, but he didn't feel compelled by the Holy Spirit to such repentance. So he also looked, turned to the back. And that continued to happen with the people behind until someone actually admits, yes, it's me, I need to repent. So yes, unfortunately, these things happen in the Christian churches and stories like that are such a disgrace to God, to the work of the Holy Spirit. And what it can do is it can make us very skeptical and even disassociate ourselves from any kinds of prophecy. But the solution is never to distance ourselves, but to learn to discern whether these prophecies that we hear and receive is from God. Because God does still use these gifts to speak into the lives of his people. He blesses his people with these gifts to edify and to build the church. And on the other side, the other extreme is people chasing after prophecies. So there are people who, when they hear some men or women of God who are known of their prophetic gifts that are in town, they flock into those services, hoping that God will use these people to prophesy to them. So instead of learning to hear from God for themselves, they become lazy and they prefer to listen from men. And 9 out of 10 times, right, they chase after these prophecies just to feel good about themselves. They hope to hear something good that will bring comfort or encouragement. And then in the end, after the emotional hype, they do nothing with God has said to them. And I was once in this extreme. I would hope for God to use the speakers with prophetic gifts to speak to me. So instead of seeking the Lord for myself, I didn't want to do the hard work of learning to listen. So I seek to hear from other human speakers. I had direct access to God, the Holy Spirit, but I preferred a human mediator. And it is because I thought that it is easier than waiting in the presence of God. Because listening to human speakers bring more hype up experiences that I wanted to have instead of just sitting in the room alone with God. So both of these extremes, to distance ourselves or to chase after prophecies, are unhealthy and unhelpful. What we need to recognize is we all have direct access to God. We should definitely learn to listen to him. And the most often way that God speaks to us is through his word, the Bible. So we need to actively listen from God. But our spiritual walk is not a lone journey. It involves a community. So God uses people to minister to us through prophecy, and God uses us to minister to others through prophecy as well. And these prophecies are meant to lead us closer to God, to edify us, to glorify God's name, and to build the kingdom of God. And some of you may have heard this story about God's call upon my life for full-time ministry. So when God laid in my heart to go to Bible school, so although I was already serving in church, I was happy to serve in church, but when God called, I was fighting against the idea of going full-time. So I had no peace, I had sleepless nights, I was feeling really troubled, and I told God, if this is you, I need a confirmation. So I decided to talk to someone about it that day. But before that could happen, somehow God made the first move. So God used Pastor Nicholas Sarkis. Some of you would have remembered him. He was our church camp speaker in Kuala Selangor, and he came to our church to speak a few times, I think. So he was the speaker of a conference that we had in our previous church, and that week was the conference week. So Pastor Nicholas has prophetic gifts, and in one of the conference, God used him to prophesy about my calling, and God even used him to speak about the tug of war I have in my heart, because I was trying to fight against this thing that God has put in my heart. And what was amazing about it is God heard my prayer for a confirmation, and he knew I needed to know that he was listening, that he cared, that I was not going crazy, was not making up things on my own. But after the prophecy, I did not immediately go to Bible school. I didn't straight away become a pastor. The prophecy was not like fortune telling, but it was an invitation for me to pursue the plans of God that he has for me. So in responding toward the call, there were so many things God needed to do in me first. I had to learn, unlearn, relearn, so many things. God had to break me, shape me, break me again, and shape me again. And honestly, there were so many times that I almost gave up and abandoned the call. I struggled big time, and some of you have seen the struggles I went through. So sometimes we think that a prophecy from God should make things happen easily, or at least not too difficult, lah. But what I realized is, yes, the prophecy was from God. I have no doubt about it. But I have to choose to respond in obedience. I have to allow God, the Holy Spirit, to work in me so that he can make me into the person that God has called me to be, to do the work that he has called me to do. And I don't know about you, but I know of people who have received prophecies from God, who has received invitations to be part of God's will, to do God's work, but decided not to pursue those callings. And it's such a shame that people would choose something else over God's plans for their life. So what the gift of prophecy tells us is God is actively speaking to us. He speaks through his people, and he also speaks to our heart through the Holy Spirit. So think about your own life, you know. Is there something that God has spoken to you, but you have forgotten, or you have lost hope, or you have rejected? And what has God called you to do? How can you respond to it? And even in this season, what is God speaking to you now? Sometimes it may not fit into our plans, agendas, or perspective of God or what he should do. But like what we heard on Sunday, God's plans may be different from ours, but only in his purposes we will be in our fullest potential, our greatest satisfaction, in our highest calling. So isn't that the best plan for us? Are we struggling to surrender and settling for less because we don't trust God enough? So I do want to encourage you to take some time to reflect and allow the Holy Spirit to remind you to work in your hearts and be open to listen to God. So the next gift is distinguishing between spirits or discernment. The Dictionary of Bible Themes define discernment as the sound judgment which makes possible the distinguishing of good from evil and the recognition of God's right ways for his people. It is necessary for the understanding of spiritual realities and on a practical level for right government and the avoidance of life's pitfalls. So discernment, in other words, is to recognize whether something comes from God or something else, to distinguish what is true from what is false. So it is actually one of the important ways to detect false teaching or false prophecies. Okay, so in Acts 5, Peter exercised the gift of knowledge and discernment when he confronted Ananias and Sapphira for lying about giving of their land. And you will notice what he said. They were not lying to Peter or the apostles, but to the Holy Spirit. Then in Acts 16, Paul exercised the gift of discernments and miracles when he rebuked and cast out the evil spirit that was in a slave girl. So although the spirit was telling the truth about who Paul is, the spirit was not of God. So Paul stopped it by casting out the spirit. And the foundation of discernment is having the knowledge of the word of God. So the more we know God's word, actually, the more we can distinguish what is of him and what is not, all right? And this is how banks teach their employees to discern counterfeit money. So they don't show them a bunch of counterfeit money to see how these are fake money, but they teach their employees to study, to analyze, to familiarize with the traits of an authentic money. So when they do encounter money that are fake, they could immediately be able to tell and discern that it is counterfeit because it doesn't possess the traits of an authentic money. And we live in a world where there are all kinds of false teaching. As Christians, we really need the gift of discernment to know what is true according to God's word and what is not. You know, every day we receive tons of messages in our WhatsApp groups, in Telegram, or whatever apps you are using for communication, and we are bombarded with different information on our social media, in media as well. So we really need the gift of discernment to distinguish what is good for us and what is not. And we definitely need the discernment for all our decisions in our lives, you know, which college to go, what major to take, what career to pursue, which job to take, which church to go, should we get married, if yes, who to marry, where to live, how to parent our children, how to handle difficult people in our offices, and the list goes on and on. The Bible gives us principles to help us in these decisions, these situations, but we need the Holy Spirit to give us discernment because each decision is different. So we need to learn to discern God's will. And very often in praying for certain decisions, God will also reveal the motives of our hearts. God will expose our selfish motives and ambition. God will confront our pride. And even if we make the right decision, God is always more interested in our motive and our heart. And if we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, God will humble us. He will show us his heart and he will help to realign us to his plans. And that is how discernment works, God moving our hearts to his heart. And we have to admit that because of our sinful nature, all of us do bring our different motives to the table. We are not a clean, empty slate. As much as there is a desire to listen to God, a desire to honor God, we can sometimes be biased to want to hear an answer that validates our choices. And sometimes if we are not careful, we may just look for the answer we want to hear. And if we don't get it from one source, we keep looking until we get it. But instead of holding on to our plans and desires, we need to learn to let go, surrender, and ask God to humble us, to change our hearts, to praying with the desire to know and do God's will. And discernment is not only for the major decisions we have in life, you know, it is the day-to-day decisions we have. And sometimes you don't have the luxury to always have the time to pray and ask God for his will before making a decision or handling a situation. Because then and there, we just need to discern God's will and make the right decision. So I remember when I first knew Pastor Adam, which was many years ago, after I got to know him a bit, I used to call him the wise old man. So both the word wise and old are compliments, actually. The word old has dual meaning to it. One is because his hair is white and it makes him look very old, so he's old. And the other meaning is he was also very wise, which usually older people are wise, okay? So why I call him that is because, he was always very insightful when I talked to him. So he counseled and discipled the people in church, including me, with wisdom and discernment. And I was always amazed because most of the times he wouldn't know what we were going to talk to him about, but somehow he would be able to give us godly advice. And then later I realized that it was because he devotes himself to scripture. He spends time with God. He reads a lot of books. He takes time to think about things and work through issues. And by doing that, he was constantly realigning himself to the work of God so he could discern how to disciple us the best. And that is what discernment is about. It is the constant meditation of the Word of God, the continuous conversation with the Holy Spirit that shapes us, that realigns us into the will of God. And so when something pops up, we can discern what God is saying and doing at that moment because we are already sensitive to the voice of God. So I just want to close with this verse again, that the Holy Spirit is one with the Father and with the Son. So with the gifts of the Spirit, including prophecy and discernment, the Holy Spirit does not act alone on his own accord. And he is always working with the Father and Jesus Christ. So as we saw last week, all three persons in the Trinity are involved in the work and gift of the Spirit. And the gifts of prophecy and discernment is given to us to realign ourselves to God's will. So what God says through prophecy and discernment is always aligned to what he says in scriptures. God doesn't contradict his word. So therefore, the gifts must be used together with scriptures. It cannot take the place of scriptures. And in fact, it works well only when we are familiar with scriptures, because knowing his word is knowing God. And knowing God will help us to know how to listen to him better. So we're going to go into a time of prayer. We're going to pray for what we look at today about prophecy and about discernment. And I think the main idea is we want to learn how to listen to God. And all of us have that access that we can learn to do that. So, we will pray for that. And after that, Alex will take over the rest of the items. And again, I want to encourage all of us to participate. And as we are even in this series of the Holy Spirit, do allow the Holy Spirit to work in your hearts and to give you courage, to give you confidence to pray and to bless the church with your giftings. So let's pray. Father, we want to thank you that through the death and resurrection, through the sacrifice of Jesus, we do have the direct access to you, Lord. We are able to listen to the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We have the Holy Spirit with us. And God, we pray, Lord, that you teach us to tune our ears to you, God. There are so many voices around us. There are so many temptations around us. There are so many things around us that is taking away our attention, that is distracting us away from hearing your voice. God, I pray, Lord, that you will teach us, Lord, to help us see that when we spend time in meditating of your word, when we spend time in your presence, allowing your word to renew our mind, to shape our lives. These mundane things that we think that is boring, these things that we do that we don't see immediate effect, they are shaping our lives. They are shaping our heart. They are making us discern what your will is for us. They are tuning our ears to your voice, God. So I pray, Lord, that you teach all of us, God, that we will discipline ourselves, Lord, to take time to reflect what you are speaking to us, because you are actively speaking to us each day, God. And God, I also want to pray, Lord, for all of us who have received a word from you, God. Some of us have pushed those things aside. We have forgotten, or we have lost hope, or we have rejected those things. But God, today we ask that you rekindle those words in our hearts, God. Renew our passion for you, God. Help us rededicate our life, our time, our resources. Help us devote ourselves into obeying you, doing your will. Help us, Lord, respond through your to your invitation of being part of your plan, being part of your work to build your kingdom, God. And help us recognize, Lord, that is the greatest blessing that anyone could do, Lord. That you give us freedom through that, Lord. That you give us meaningful relationships in that, Lord. That your love overflow in that, God. And God, I pray for the church that you will help us all learn to discover our giftings, Lord. Learn to develop our giftings, Lord. That we will be a blessing, Lord, to each other. We will be a blessing to the community you have placed us in. And we will be able to point people to you, Lord, with whatever you have given us, Lord. So help us to represent you. Help us to shine for you, God. Help us to be a blessing to the people around us, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Dear Lord, we want to thank you for your presence. We want to thank you that you are here. And we want to thank you for that you have baptized us with the Holy Spirit. And dear Lord, we pray that we will learn to be aware of your presence, that we will learn to be attentive to your presence, dear Lord. You are faithful and true, Lord. And the problem with us is that we are too distracted and not attentive to your presence, your guidance, your leading in our lives. And Lord, we pray that you teach us, that you move us, that you open our eyes and our hearts, Lord, to all the things that you're doing within us. Dear Lord, we thank you that we can come together and pray. And even as we have prayed, Lord, for many things, for people, for families, for this nation, we are praying for love, for healing, for salvation and reconciliation. Dear Lord, we pray that you will shape our hearts to be your instruments for this good work, that we will reach out, that we will share your love, that we will express your truth and justice in all things. Dear Lord, we pray that we will do this together as a church, working together, all of us, dear Lord, without the multiple gifts that you have given, Lord, to each one of us. Dear God, even this time, I do believe, dear Lord, that you are encouraging some of us to step up, to embrace the calling, to use the gift, to see a to embrace a particular vision, dear Lord. You are asking some of us to exercise a gift with clarity, with intent. And I pray, Lord, that you continue, Lord, to move us so that all of us will rise and find our place in this body so that we may be one before you. Dear Lord, we also pray concerning what's happening in this world, the inflation, the challenges that are coming up. We pray, Lord, Father, that our eyes will be on you, that we will have peace knowing that you are our God and that you will keep us, dear God. As you provided manna for each day, Lord, you will provide for each day. Let us ask for you, Lord, to give us each day our daily bread and trust you, Lord, to guide us and lead us. Dear Lord, let our hearts not be anxious, Lord, but let us wait on you. Let us learn to be still and know that you are God. And then in that stillness, Lord, that we will be in awe of your greatness, of your rule over all things, of your ability, Lord, to sustain us even in the most challenging of seasons, dear God. That in the stillness, we will recognize that you are good, that you love us, that you will bear us in your arms, Lord, in all situations. That in the stillness, Lord, we will know that you have called us, and we must rise, we must shine. We must do the work that you have set apart for us. And we will find that strength and courage in your presence, dear God. So move us, dear Lord. Move us, Lord Father, in a time like this. Heavenly Father, also I pray for all those who are not feeling well. I pray, Lord, that you would heal them. I pray especially for Tabitha, the children and her parents. I pray, Lord Father, that you heal them and protect them from COVID. I just lift up Colin to your hands also, that you will protect him, and those who have COVID will be healed, Lord. I pray for Tabitha that you will just heal her sinuses and all the uneasiness, Lord, that she's feeling, and that you would restore her to good health, and that you would bless his family, Lord. And anyone else, Lord, who is not feeling well, that you would bless them and keep them, Lord, Father. So, Lord, thank you, Lord, that we can come together. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, Father, for this beautiful picture of the church, which you have saved and which you have restored and which you are equipping, Lord, for your purpose. I pray that every person will know, Lord, that they have your spirit, they are called, and that they will rise in your name. Let your blessings be upon us this coming week. Keep us in your love and your goodness. We thank you. We give you all glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.